Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The best local sports talk in the Flower City. The John Murphy Show and the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Weekday afternoons on the Sports Leader, ESPN Rochester.
Here in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia, we only talk to the best and brightest minds, the guys with their ears to the ground that can share the wisdom and make you smarter just for listening to ESPN Rochester. Guys like Bill's sideline reporter, Sal Capaccio. Good with his time as always. Sal, how are you this afternoon?
Pretty good, guys. How are you?
Great, Sal. So four practices in the books for the Buffalo Bills. Give me one or two guys that you think might have surprised you as we're seeing our first look here at the Bills on the field of camp.
I don't know if surprised is a word I'll use, but I'll say guys that kind of jumped out at me. I think Shaq Lawson, first and foremost. Not that I'm necessarily surprised that he's playing well. I think this switch to a 4-3 was always the thing that he needed. It was really better for him. And ironically, and he said, and I think candidly, he said on Saturday that he knew he was not a fit for Rex Ryan's defense, but the coaching staff felt he was, which I thought was amazing for him to even come out and admit. But he's looked great, guys. He really has. He's done a nice job. I think the Bills could have a real nice player there opposite of Jerry Hughes. And, you know, a guy that I think I thought was going to look good. I've been on his I've been on him for several months. Even before they drafted him, they did, is Zay Jones. I think every day he seems to get better. He does not look really like a rookie out there. He's not making plays that wow you. He's just very steady.
Sal, I'm surprised that we haven't seen more of Reggie Ragland and trying to figure out and connect the dots as to why Preston Brown has been getting all those first-team reps. What do you see?
Well, first of all, that does not surprise me. And I've been saying for a couple weeks now, people, and even months since you know, Sean McDermott took over, and he mentioned that Reggie Ragland was start out on the inside or in the middle, and so many people thought, oh, well, this is, you know, Preston Brown. What are they going to do with him? I kept saying, slow down. You know, Preston Brown is a guy that's been in this league for 3 years. He's led this team in snaps each of the first 3 years, over 1,000 each time. And Reggie Ragland has yet to play a snap in the NFL. He's coming off ACL injury and surgery, and it's hard for anybody to come right back on the playing field and be that same guy. But even all that said, you know, we knew he was a good fit for last year, Rex Ryan's defense in the 3-4, opposite of, you know, what we just said about Shaq Lawson. But I don't know if he's really a fit for this 4-3 middle linebacker that Sean McDermott needs that has to be the coverage, turnaround, athletic type. And even, I'm not saying Preston Brown necessarily is, but I think that's a bit of a challenge for Reggie Ragland this early in his career. So I think that's a big reason why. But I'll agree that I thought he would at least have some reps at in the first unit by this point, because they have been rotating guys in just to make sure they're kind of, you know, see how they fit with each group. But he has yet to do that. Preston Brown has taken every single snap with the first team middle at middle linebacker, which is interesting to me.
Sal, you brought up the injury, and I guess we're all conditioned in this post-Adrian Peterson world that, hey, one offseason's good enough. Is there anything we're hearing or no? What are you hearing in regards to the recovery? I mean, is he just trying to get the reps? Where do you think things stand right now with Reggie Ragland and that knee?
Well, no, I mean, there's nothing I'm hearing medically that's wrong or anything like that. I just think that it takes time sometimes for guys to get back to who they are. You know, I mean, remember when Kiko Alonso had his knee surgery in Buffalo and they traded him, it took him a full year to really become the player he was. He came right back in Philly and he actually had an injury right away that season, like a few games in, and he was never the same player that first year. And then he had a bounce back year the second year off the injury, and he's been good since. I just think it takes time. These are human beings, like you said. And on top of that, you know, it's not like Reggie Ragland's carrying the same frame as Adrian Peterson. No, Reggie Ragland has a weight clause in his contract. I'm guessing part of it is because they want to make sure, you know, it's hard. Look, part of it is it's not just the, okay, can this guy be the same player he was? Going through that, especially at a young age, he's never had to rehab. He has to know how to treat his body right during the rehab. You know, he's not on the field running every day and conditioning. All he's doing is kind of sitting around and doing certain exercises. He has to know how to treat his body. He has to know how to do right exercises. And I think all of that goes into it. I'm not saying he did anything wrong, but I think it's very hard at the age of 22, 23 to know exactly how to do that to get back to where you were.
Bill sideline reporter Sal Capaccio, our guest in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. And Sal, one of the Bills that you noted in an article on ESPNRochester.com, Tanner Vallejo turning some heads at the linebacker position. What have you seen from the rookie?
Well, I see the guy that's versatile, and that's really what they are doing with him right now. That's why they like him. He has, yesterday was really interesting, and that was the most noteworthy development of camp yesterday to me, was Tanner Vallejo took some snaps at strong side linebacker to start in place of Lorenzo Alexander, and then to also back up Will linebacker in place of Ramon Humber. Now, that's in front of Gerald Hodges, so he's getting first-team reps at strong, second-team reps at Will. He's not going to start at either spot. I mean, I can't say that right now. You never know what happens, I guess. But they're really liking him enough to give him enough reps at both spots and to have him learn both spots. And think about it. That's a guy that you drafted late in the draft who has, in his, what, fourth NFL practice, and you're already doing that. That says a lot.
Sal Capaccio, Buffalo Bills sideline reporter, also WGR in Buffalo, our guest here in the Sports Bar, 95.7 ESPN. Bills spending a first-round pick on Tre'Davious White. How did he look? How has he looked so far in camp, Sal?
Well, he had a tough day on Saturday. Thursday, Friday looked fine. He looked really good in OTAs and minicamp, and the same thing Thursday and Friday. Remember now, 2 days without pads. Pads came on Saturday. I thought he took a step back or at least had his fair share of struggles. What I called it was his welcome to the NFL day on Saturday. Andre Holmes beat him a couple times. But you know what? He bounced back on Sunday. He did a really nice job bouncing back on Sunday, made some really nice plays in the football, got his hands on some footballs. And, you know, speaking to him after practice, he understands that's part of the process. This is a kid, I think, that you don't have to worry about if he gets beat in a game, and he will, because he's a corner. He's not going to let it linger in his head, and he's going to be able to forget about that pretty quickly.
Sal, should we be worried about the tweaked hamstring of Marcell Dareus?
Well, because it's Marcell Dareus, I guess you should. I mean, let's be honest, right? I mean, anybody else on the team, you might think, oh, come on, right? 3 days in. It's him. It's 2 days in, really, after a second day of practice, and you're like, here we go again? I mean, are you kidding me? And look, the team says it's nothing to be overly concerned about. Leslie Frazier said that. He said that it was precautionary yesterday. You know, they have a day off today, so you figure that gives him a full 3 days rest because he tweaked it on the latter half of Friday's practice. But it is Marcell Dareus, and he has a history of off-the-field issues combined with injuries. So I think any time that happens with him, then, yeah, I think Bills fans have a right to, you know, be concerned about that.
I guess kind of along those same lines, Charles Clay getting a, what can you call it, a maintenance day? Is this going to be the MO for Charles Clay, just giving him limited reps just to manage that knee condition, Sal?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, this is the fourth practice in a row. There were Sammy practiced yesterday, but, you know, they backed him off a little bit. I think we saw that with a few guys yesterday. Ron Darby also had a bit of an injury. They didn't put him out there yesterday. But you're going to see that with guys like Charles Clay. We're probably going to see Charles Clay once again this year have a day, either a week or every couple weeks, you know, not necessarily be at practice every day. But, you know, they did it last year, the old staff, and you have to say that they did the right thing, I think, because he did not miss any games other than the game he missed due to the birth of his child. It did not cost him any snaps in games or any portions of games. So, you know, if that's the way they're going to do it and Charles Clay can stay healthy for the year, I think that's okay.
Bill sideline reporter Sal Capaccio, our guest in the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia. Sal, let's talk about the quarterback play. What have you seen so far of Tyrod and Yates? Peterman got some rave reviews at the beginning of camp. What are you seeing?
Well, you know, this is Tyrod Taylor's show. There's no competition for the number one, and he's looked, you know, okay. There's nothing he's done, and I say that, well, he's only looked okay. What I mean is, there's nothing he's done to make me go, oh, my God, he looks spectacular. And there's nothing he's done to make me say, oh, my gosh, he doesn't look very good. You know, he makes good plays. He makes bad plays. Last year, I remember this time of year, I kept saying I noticed he was working on certain technique things. And, you know, that came into play. And it wasn't always necessarily the exact perfect ball because he might have been working on something he's doing with his arm or his feet. And you never know with these guys. They're doing that. But I thought the first couple days he looked pretty darn good. I should say on Thursday he did. Friday I thought wasn't a great day. Then Saturday he had a great day of practice. Yesterday a little mixed bag of both, as the ice cream truck goes by me. Sorry guys. he had yesterday, I didn't think, a great day, but nothing that I would put in the category of worrisome. And then you look at Yates and Peterman, they're not challenging for the starting job, and they aren't performing as if they're challenging for the starting job, but they are competing with each other. Right now it is T.J. Yates as the number two guy. We'll see where that goes. Peterman looks like a guy that he makes all the right decisions, it seems like. I should say most of the right decisions. Most throws are good throws that you would expect your guys to make, but every once in a while he makes a throw where you say, yep, well, he's a rookie and he's going to have to learn not to do that.
Rewind to less than a week ago, how time flies here, talking about the decision to move Cardale Jones. Sal, what percentage of that would you put on, hey, the Bills are done with Cardale Jones, or, hey, we like what we see out of Peterman. We need to get him more reps here.
Mostly the first part of that. The second part isn't necessarily we like what we see from Peterman. I'm sure they do. That has to be a bit of a factor, right? But I think it's more of Peterman's our guy. We drafted him. He's our investment. We have a plan for him. You know, as I've been telling people, you know, from the beginning here, Cardale Jones is the only one of the three quarterbacks this regime did not have a connection to. Sean McDermott was there to help bring Tyrod Taylor back in his contract restructure. Sean McDermott helped bring in T.J. Yates as a free agent. Sean McDermott helped draft Nathan Peterman. So the only guy that's on that roster that Sean McDermott didn't have a hand in was Cardale Jones. So I think the writing was on the wall from the beginning, but I think it's more so of, yeah, we've seen enough of Cardale, and we don't really want him. Plus, Brandon Bean told us they didn't want to have an extra arm in camp because it was taking away reps from Peterman and Yates. And maybe especially Peterman, I'd say, since he's a young guy, they only wanted three quarterbacks. They thought four was too many.
Sal Capaccio in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Sal, I'm returning from vacation. I missed the first four practices. Gene was at camp Thursday and Friday last week. I'm just curious. Yeah. We were laughing. Gene and I were laughing as we were kind of getting caught up on everything after not seeing each other for a couple of weeks. You know, how's camp been going? And he kind of did the, I mean, what are you seeing as far as differences in how this year's camp is run versus how it was run the last 2 years with Rex?
So what does that answer mean? Does it mean like, oh my God, they look bad, or does it mean like it's camp?
My point being, this isn't the Rex Ryan reality show. I think I saw you, Sal, for 2 seconds. I'm like, hey, this is kind of boring, and that's my take. This is a normal camp. Can we say that things seem to be kind of dialed back here as compared to the Rex years?
Yeah, only because of Rex, right? I mean, I think on the field, you know. There wasn't a necessary sideshow from the time that they kicked off practice to the time they were over with Rex, but absolutely by the time they were done with practice and all the things that went along with Rex and press conferences and things like that, and always seemed to be drama every day, right? I mean, I think that is exactly what you're probably referring to, and I agree with that. I think it depends on what you're looking for. To me, I really enjoy watching the individual interaction between coaches and players, and I got to tell you guys, I think there's a 180 degree difference this year than last year in that. Now, 2 years ago, Rex's staff, I thought, did a really good job of teaching and technique and going over things with guys. I thought last year they completely went away from that. It was all about scheme, because they knew that they had a problem with the scheme the year before. They hired coaches to teach the scheme. Their jobs were on the line. They didn't have time to teach technique. They didn't have time to get into the finer details of things. It was all about the scheme. And then on top of that, let's be honest, teaching scheme is way more fun than teaching technique, right? So everybody was always, you know, trying to do that. This year, I think they've really gone back to technique. I loved what I've seen out of Coach Phil McGeegan, the wide receivers coach working with Sammy Watkins, the DB coaches working with Ron Darby. I think Ron Darby really missed Donnie Henderson last year going over that stuff. And I see it again. I see the teaching, the finer points, all those little things, the footwork, the toe placement, all those little things that matter. That's what I see at this camp.
Well, Gene and I were talking about the addition of Mike Waffle and how, you know, this guy that's this known disciplinarian throughout the league is now on this staff to work with a guy like Marcel Darius. I mean, have you seen anything out of him and how he's been able to work with the defensive line?
No, I mean, Mike Waffle is he's a true pro's pro, though, as far as a coach is concerned. You know, he's, again, one of these teachers. He's a detail-oriented guy. He's really working with hand placement, all different things. I don't see him out there hooting and hollering or yelling at people or challenging to fights or anything like that. You know, I did notice, though, I'm glad you brought it up, because I did notice when Marcel was not practicing the first day, it was Saturday, he stood next to Mike Waffle a lot on the sidelines when they were going 11-on-11, and Mike Waffle was talking to him and showing him things. And I think that's good. That's what Marcel needs. He needs to be engaged in learning even when he's not practicing. And really that was what Mike Waffle was doing while Marcel was out.
Sal, when we look at the week ahead here, 8:45 tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, the practice in Buffalo. So we had Brandon Bean on, and you heard the quotes also when he was talking to reporters, that pretty much they quashed any speculation that they are happy here in Rochester. But on the other hand, Friday night, what are you anticipating out at One Bills Drive? This is something the Buffalo Bills have not done before, the open practice out at New Era Field.
I don't think it'll be much different than the nighttime practices we've seen in Rochester. I think they just wanted to bring something to the fans of Buffalo, to people, you know, to have them have an opportunity to do that, because there was an evening practice in Rochester. Now you'll get one in Buffalo. I mean, I don't know. There's no schedule out yet. Is it like they haven't talked about if they're going to scrimmage or anything like that? Typically, with past regimes, we'd get some sort of scrimmage. We haven't had that. Now, I don't know, though, if that's in Sean McDermott's MO, if he's going to want to do something like that. But I wouldn't be surprised if we saw some sort of more 11-on-11, I guess you'd say, right? A little bit more of a scrimmage-type atmosphere, a little bit more competitive nature for the fans here in Buffalo to watch.
As far as attendance for Friday night at New Era Field, it's a Friday night. It's free. We set the over-under at 15,000, Sal. Where are you?
Yeah, but there is a ticket required, even though it's free.
Yes.
Just so people know. Yeah, that's a good question. Boy, that sounds high, 15,000. I'll go 8,000. I don't think it's going to be quite 15. That's a lot of people, isn't it? I don't know, though. You guys are catching me off. I don't know, what is the normal practice?
We've never done it before. We're just thinking, something to do on a Friday night in Buffalo if it's free and you're a diehard.
Listen, if you're a fan that normally makes the trek into Rochester to see the team and it's become a summer ritual, we don't have to go in there. Friday night actually is a better night. I'm just wondering if they can draw, 4 to 5, and they never announce those figures, but you just do the eyeball thing, knowing the capacity of Grounney Stadium. That's generally how many tickets are distributed. Danger and I were just doing the math when, you had all this kind of, speculation that camp was not in the cards here in Rochester. Did you hear anything about that, Sal? Because the Buffalo Bills were very definitive, Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott, how much they like camp here in Rochester. Is there anything to connecting the dots with the land being bought around the team facility there and bringing a practice or two back to One Bills Drive?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if that eventually happens. But from what I understand, they enjoy being in Rochester. Sean? People I talk to say McDermott likes to go away. He believes in it. He believes in the bonding aspect of what training camp brings. So, I think he wants to do that. I wouldn't be surprised if that happens. You got to remember, they just signed a new deal back in October, as I'm sure you guys know. It's a 5-year deal. So this is the first year of that 5-year deal to stay in Rochester for training camp. But, yeah, you're right. Who wouldn't, start connecting those dots, all the stuff that's going on? But if they really wanted to leave, even though it's a deal, I'm sure Terry Pegula could write a check of some sort, right? You could wind up doing that. But I haven't heard anything that really leads me to believe they're not going to be in Rochester anytime soon. Let's remember, guys, there's a marketing and business arm to this organization that matters. And there's a reason why they've been in Rochester, to try and market this team to that part of the state. And I think that that's important to this organization. So I wouldn't worry about it right now. And again, they do have a deal there that they just signed. And from what I heard, Sean McDermott does like it. So what is the sellout there at Fisher for one of these practices? How many people? Do we know?
I know the capacity for Grounney's 4,500. So if you're kind of just doing the eyeball test at that, I never got an exact number there. So, yeah, you're going to have at least double that at New Era Field Friday night, I would figure, Sal. But honestly, I put the over-under at 15,000. Maybe I'm all wet here, but...
All right, I'll go 10 then. I'll go just under that then. I'll say 10.
All right, Sal. Looking forward to seeing you at camp this week, bud. It'll be a good time. Sal Capaccio, Bill's sideline reporter. You can hear him on our sister station, WGR, as well. Our guest, and always good with his time here in the sports bar with Danger Pataglia. Enjoy your week, bud. See you at camp.
Always fun, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Sal. Major League Baseball trading deadline coming up in 17 minutes. Another reliever just went on the move. Pittsburgh Pirates closer Tony Watson goes to the LA Dodgers. So there you go. Another contender loading up on a bullpen arm, Danger. So again, if you're just tuning in, Sonny Gray from Oakland did end up with the New York Yankees. Yankees didn't really give up all that much, just 3 prospects in return. And again, the trading deadline coming up at 4:00 today.
And Gene, while you're scanning that Twitter news feed there for the latest on the MLB trade deadline, let me update you on the Buffalo Bills poll that we have today for the ESPN Rochester, at ESPN Rochester on Twitter. Which Bills player has been most surprising to you thus far at training camp? Right now, 50% going with the rookie, Tanner Vallejo, 35% for Shaq Lawson, 10% for Reggie Ragland. And Sal kind of putting us at ease a little bit there. Hey, look, he's coming back from an ACL. That's part of it. And then mixing a little small dose of, hey, this might not be the best scheme for Reggie Ragland.
Right. It's the middle linebacker in a 4-3, much different than an inside linebacker in a 4-3.
All right. The sports bar returns next with Danger and Battaglia. We play a game called I'll Drink to That. Give you some sports comments to agree or disagree with. If anything, just wrap your mind around some of these comments, including NBC releasing the broadcast schedule for the 2017-2018 NHL season, Gene.
Only NBC. This is our opportunity to make fun of the TV arm of the NHL, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know you well enough to know that when we bring this topic up, your head will explode, and you can hear that next. I'll Drink to That is on the way in the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.